Our scripture reading for today is one of the shortest that you will ever hear. I'm sharing with you from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, simply verse 7. And I invite you to listen for the word of God to you. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So a typical scenario when I was growing up during the summer has to do with the long vacations that my folks would take us on, especially long road trips. And what I remember is we'd be on the road all day long, and finally, my mother would say to my father something like, "Isn't it time to stop?" Well, David and I, my brother and I, had hit that wall about 10 in the morning, so we were really relieved to hear those words. So my dad started looking for a place where we could spend the night, a motel where we could spend the night. And, you know, they had the billboards on the side of the roads. I mean, these were back roads often that we took. Billboards saying something like, "Stay with us, air conditioning," right? Color TV. We would pull into a particular motel and we would look for that bright pink sign. I don't know why they were bright pink neon signs. The ones that said either vacancy or no vacancy. When we saw no vacancy, our hearts would sink. We knew that it would be on to the next, trying to find a place to stay. Now, I'm sure my family made reservations for motels at some point, but I have this memory of them, my parents especially, thinking, okay, we'll just see how far we can get, you know, we'll see how far we can go before we have to turn in for the night. There was never a sure bet whether there would be room for us at a particular mom-and-pop motel. Sometimes we met with good fortune, other times we certainly didn't. We just took our chances, and we just kept on going to find where we could stay the night. After a particularly frustrating time, I remember my mom sometimes saying, "We just must not be living right." My brother and I thought, well, maybe she had a point after all. I'm not sure really what that meant. Of course, there are things that we have little control over in life, and one of those things we have little control over is whether others will put out the welcome mat for us, right? I mean, we may be in a time of need. Will others receive us in the way that we need? It's always a question mark that we go through in life. Sometimes we see those no vacancy signs. Sometimes we meet up with people whose inns are just full up. Maybe full up with judgment or preconceived notions or self-occupation, self-involvement. Maybe they just have certain priorities that are not our priorities. You just never know. You just never know. We go with what our experience is. And yet sometimes, we find those folks that just immediately put out the welcome mat for us. They make us feel at home and safe and secure in their presence. They kind of go through life wearing this vacancy sign, and we are touched. A clergy friend of mine from seminary, her name is Rebecca Tollefson. We graduated the same year, and I've only kept in touch briefly through maybe Facebook posts. Whenever I do go on Facebook, I see something maybe that she's written. Recently, she put this up as her Facebook post. "Just so you know, my door is always open. My house is a safe zone. Coffee or tea can be made in minutes. A cold soda or a bottle of water is always available. My living room sofa and the front porch in warmer times is a place of peace and not judgment. Anyone who needs to chat is welcome. We can pray, talk, share a laugh or two, or I can just listen. It's not good to suffer alone in silence. I will always do everything possible to be available. You are always welcome." Isn't that who we need to be for each other? It's at this time of year, especially on this day and tomorrow, we're all thinking about the Christmas story. We think about those familiar words that you heard me read from Luke today. "For she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn." And it occurs to me that those words are so poignant on many, many, many levels. Not the least of which is the fact that we can identify those times when we have felt without the welcome that we have longed for. We have felt without a safe and a comforting place to land. And that being said, we also have to identify with the hard fact that we haven't always welcomed others into our lives to the extent maybe that we are called to be welcomers, to be people of hospitality. Perhaps our own personal lives have caused us to be filled up in our inns, or perhaps we have full inns of judgment, preconceived notions, ways of thinking, or priorities, or just busyness. None of us gets off scot-free when we think about all of this, right? And the story invites us to certainly look at that too. What a human tendency it is to crowd out others for a whole host of reasons. And look at how Jesus was received. We are talking about Jesus here. I mean, in Luke's gospel, we hear there's no room at the inn, but you know, that could be carried on throughout the life and ministry of Jesus. There was never room in the inn for him. There was never room in the inn of the Sadducees, who were the aristocrats at the time, those who were socially privileged. There was no room for him in the inn of the Pharisees, who felt everything had to be done exactly by the law. You had to dot your I's and you had to cross your T's. There was no room in the inn for him with those who thought he was coming to lead a military battle of sorts so that the Jewish people, the zealots, could overcome and take over Rome. Jesus himself recognized that there was no real place to rest. He himself said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So at even the end of his life, you know, there was no room. There was no room. The crucifixion was the ultimate sign of his rejection. And at the end of Luke's gospel, we have the sense that we need to keep asking the question, will there ever be room? Will there ever be room for Jesus? And we are certainly asked to question whether our hearts are spacious and open enough and filled with love and acceptance so that we receive those who need to be at home in our midst, at home with us, have a home with us. Maybe it's only our blindness sometimes that keeps them out. Keeping out folks can feel so righteous, too. As you know, there's the Christian tradition about where Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem, and a church has been built right there at the spot. Folks think he was laid in a manger, but as these things go, no one really knows for sure. But different Christian traditions are a part of that church. And they don't always get along. And monks live there. And the monks always don't get along. And monks to this day, you know, live in this kind of uneasy truce, even there where Jesus was supposed to have been born. And they can even get into fist fights over the space. Talk about no room. And yet, as the old carol says, love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, stars and angels gave the sign. When will that truly be the point? Love is the miracle that creates room for others, that creates room for Jesus himself. What do we need to do to keep space, to keep our hearts free for the love that was born at Christmas, to keep that vacancy sign out in our lives, especially for others who need to feel safe, who need to feel like they can be who they need to be? I'd like to close with a lovely story. It's told by Anita Wheatcroft. And it's her story, How Far to Bethlehem. And she describes her sense of finding a loving home when she was a child. And it was at a time of difficulty in her life, a time of big change and transition. And she says, it happened in a large church in New York City where I grew up. During an annual nativity pageant, the church was especially full. Hushed in the darkness, the congregation watched the lighting of the candles. Toward the back I sat, one timid little girl with my family. Newly moved to the city after a family separation and trauma, my life had settled down, but I was still overwhelmed and homesick for my grandparents and familiar friends. That night, however, caught up in awe as the organ music rolled out from the balcony to the rafters, I heard a familiar story that I loved, and I was transported to another time and place. Down the aisle swept this colorful procession. Lights went up, revealing the magnificent manger scene. Travelers, bearded shepherds, and finally the three kings bearing gifts advanced majestically. Before anyone knew it, I found myself following them. The journey down that long aisle was an early spiritual pilgrimage for me. Yet it felt like a kind of homecoming. When I reached the manger scene, there was a sleepy donkey, real sheep, and Mary and Joseph beneath an angel with outstretched wings. Above all, there was a light in the manger, enfolding us in its glow. Kneeling in front of it, I had a sense of exaltation, of self-offering as real as any I have ever known since. This was real to me, and I was there. Of course, it didn't last long. I was lifted to my feet by an usher and carried down the aisle back to my embarrassed family, and the pageant swept on. I was vaguely aware of subdued smiles, my parents whispering some kind of scolding, but it didn't matter. My discovery was my own. And I had something now that no one could ever take from me. I had been to Bethlehem. I had seen it all for the first time, and I would never forget it. Life is rich with homecomings as well as with exiles and rejections and that I don't want you around attitude. And let's, though, in the midst of it all, remember what pure welcome means, pure hospitality, the kind that says, come on in, stay a while, it's warm here. Isn't that, after all, the welcome of Christmas? Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you welcome us. You welcome us no matter who we are. You welcome us in our inner beings, and we feel the warmth of that love. Help us do all we can to extend the same kind of welcome to others so that your warmth, your love may abound. This we pray during this season, and during all seasons. Amen.